I may have referred to the Battle of Armageddon a few times as the final judgment of God in history. That's not entirely wrong. In a sense, it is correct to say that because Armageddon is the final judgment of God within history as we know it. This world is constantly being judged by God. War and famine and disease and natural disasters are temporal judgments of God upon a world that is in rebellion against Him. Every temporal judgment of God reminds us that there is coming a final judgment. Armageddon is the last temporal judgment, but it is not the final judgment. The final judgment is the one we read about in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, our text for this morning. It is called the Great White Throne Judgment, and it occurs at the end of this present age that we are living in, just after it is over. It is the same judgment that Jesus spoke about in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, when He said, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." There is a resurrection of life and there is a resurrection of judgment. This is the same judgment that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 25 when He said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from his goats. And He will place the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.' Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" This great white throne judgment occurs at the end of human history as we know it. At the end of this age, man's business on earth is over, and it is time to settle accounts with God, our Maker, and enter into our eternal assignments. I want to deal with this passage around three points this morning. First of all, the judge. Secondly, the judged. And thirdly, the judgment. The judge, the judged, and the judgment. The judge is introduced in verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. From His presence the earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them." There's some disagreement among commentators as to who this is sitting on the throne. Is it God the Father? Is it God the Son, Jesus Christ? It seems to be, by the sound of it, God the Father, Him from whose presence earth and sky fled away. But then the Bible says that God the Father has given authority to the Son to execute judgment. It really does not matter if we understand this to be the Father or the Son, because Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." There is unity in the Godhead, so that whether this is the Father or the Son, it is the triune God who is the judge. It is Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, who sits on the throne, I believe. He sits on a throne. The throne is the seat of authority. So, He is the absolute supreme authority. The throne is great by reason of its majestic and formidable appearance. The throne is white because of the perfect purity and holiness that radiate from it. This is a place of perfect justice. Human courts often make mistakes. Sometimes people are put in prison who do not deserve to be there. Many times the punishment does not match the crime. This is a throne of perfect righteousness and perfect judgment, and there won't be any mistakes made here at the great white throne. Earth and sky flee away from the presence of Him who sits on the throne. This present earth and heaven as we know them will be destroyed to make way for a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." The language of the Revelation is intended to convey something of the awesome majesty and grandeur of God and of the solemnity of this judgment. He is in control, and He has assembled before Him all the people who have ever lived on earth in order to execute a just sentence upon all that has fallen under the control of evil in this world. Secondly, the ones who are judged are introduced in verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 and 13 says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done." This is all of the people who have ever lived upon this earth. No one is excluded from this judgment. No one is too great and no one is too small to be excluded from this judgment. Sometimes in our judicial system, people of rank can manipulate the system and escape from the due process that befalls ordinary citizens. Sometimes there are people who think that they are too important to undergo the same process that ordinary citizens must submit to. And they are able to use their rank to circumvent the judicial process. No one is too important and no one is too insignificant to be excused from this judgment. No one is left out of this assembly at the great white throne to be judged. No one is too great, no one is too insignificant, and no one will be overlooked. All must appear before the throne to be judged by God. How can this be? How can people who died 100 or 1,000 or 3,000 years ago stand before the throne and be judged? There will be a resurrection of the righteous, and there will be a resurrection of the unrighteous. All will be raised from the dead. I have often said that death is essentially separation. There are three kinds of death. There is spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. There is spiritual death, which is separation of the spirit or the soul from God. The Bible speaks of spiritual death in such places as Ephesians 2, where it talks about being dead in trespasses and sins. It is talking about people who are dead while they yet live. They are spiritually dead. They are dead to the life of God. They are separated from God spiritually. Physical death is the separation of the spirit from the body. When life ends for this physical body, the Bible speaks of physical death in such places as James 2:26, which talks about the body without the spirit being dead. Eternal death is the third kind of death, and that is eternal separation from God. Eternal death is spiritual death extended into eternity because of a lack of a response to accept the gospel. And that is what we read about here in our text for today. When the sentence of judgment is executed and the persons are thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is eternal death. When a person dies physically, their body is buried into the ground, but their soul goes to a place called Sheol or Hades. Sheol is Hebrew and Hades is Greek. Sheol and Hades are generic terms for the place of the abode of souls after death. Sheol and Hades are the same place. There is a paradise in that place for the saved, and there is a torment in that place for the unsaved. It is called the intermediate state because the final state will not take place until after the great white throne judgment. So there is a general resurrection of all people who have ever lived and died. It does not matter if you died in a hospital or a house, if you died on a battlefield or in a bed, if you died on the highway in a car wreck, in the air, on an airplane, or on a boat at sea, your body will be resurrected. It does not matter if you were buried in a cemetery or burned to ashes by cremation or buried at sea, your body will be raised. Did you know that our English word cemetery is derived from a Greek word? The English word cemetery is derived from the Greek word koimeterion. The words look alike and they almost sound alike. The Greek word koimeterion means a resting chamber, a sleeping place. It is called a resting chamber because the body is placed there to rest until the day of resurrection. The body will not lie there forever. The body will disintegrate eventually, but God created it, and God will raise it up again. So, there's going to be a resurrection of all the people who ever dwelt on the earth. Our text says, "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. And they are all assembled before the great white throne judgment." Well, the judgment is described for us here in verses 13 through 15. Verse 13 through 15 says, "They were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." The criteria for this judgment is stated in verse 13. As according to what they had done. That is behavior. That is works. That is deeds or acts. God is keeping records of all of our works. One day we shall stand before Him and we shall give an answer for what we have done in this life. Why didn't you treat people with kindness and compassion? Why didn't you feed the hungry? Why didn't you give drink to the thirsty? Why didn't you befriend the stranger? Why didn't you clothe the naked? Why didn't you care for the sick? Why didn't you visit those in prison? Why were you so selfish with your time and your money? Why didn't you take the gospel to your next door neighbor or the person across town or to the ends of the earth? Why did you make a god out of wealth and prosperity and fame instead of worshiping the true God? Why did you cheat and lie and steal and lust and murder and commit adultery and fornication? Why did you spend so much time in self-aggrandizement? We will have to give an answer for all of these things before God one day. When He turns the searchlight on us in that day, we will wish for a place to hide, but none will be found. Do you think that God is cruel and arbitrary to do such a thing? Do you think that God is cruel and arbitrary to require all men to come before Him one day and give an account of what they have done in this life? It is not true. God is not cruel and arbitrary. His holiness demands justice. If you will admit it, there is an innate desire deep within the heart of every man that all of the injustices of life will be dealt with and justice be done. Our own deeds will condemn us. Apparently, there is more than one set of books in heaven. We know about the Lamb's Book of Life, but there are other books too. There are interesting references to the Lord keeping books in the Old Testament. Daniel 7:9-10 says, "As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took His seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of His head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before Him. 1,000 thousands served Him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened." Malachi 3:16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before Him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed His name." A book of remembrance of those who feared the Lord and esteemed His name. All this talk about books is really for our benefit. The omniscient God does not need books, but it is written this way to bring home to us that there are accurate records being kept. When you talk about our deeds as the basis of judgment, someone always raises the question of justification by faith. Are we not saved by faith in Christ? Don't you preach justification by faith? We are saved by faith in Christ. Justification is by faith alone, in the substitutionary atoning work of Christ alone. People who are saved by faith in Christ are the ones whose names appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. But our deeds, our works will show whether or not our faith in Christ was authentic. People who genuinely believe in Christ for salvation are obedient to Christ in this life, and their deeds will demonstrate this. There are many people who claim to be Christians, but their faith is not genuine, and their deeds demonstrate something else. All that is false and inauthentic will be exposed then at the great white throne judgment. That is one of the reasons for it. The nature of this judgment is eternal punishment in the lake of fire. This is hell. Verse 15 says, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Does that not strike terror in your heart? It makes me wonder why anyone is so adamant in their rejection of Jesus Christ. Only the punishment of the unrighteous is mentioned here. The bliss and the blessing of the righteous is taken up in the next two chapters. The final judgment then has no terrors for those who, thanks to the grace that flows from the cross of Christ, have their names entered in the book of life. That is the only escape from eternal death in hell. That is the only escape from the execution of the sentence at the great white throne judgment. How do I get my name written in that book? The Scripture does not precisely tell us that. Nobody has ever seen that book. Nobody knows whose names are written in that book. But the Scripture is clear about this. There is justification. There is redemption in Christ Jesus. And it is by faith. The Scripture says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith." To be justified, to be redeemed, is to be saved from the judgment of the great white throne. When we talk about salvation often, when we talk about salvation, this is what we're talking about: being saved from the judgment of eternal hell. Redemption is in Jesus Christ, and it is received by faith. If you want to escape the eternal punishment of the great white throne judgment, then why don't you receive the redemption that is in Christ Jesus by faith? May God enable you to do it. Amen. Let's pray.